Hey, it's just after 20 past six. It's Monday, which is when we delve into the world of technology on Home Time. The gadget detective is Fevzi Turkot. Fevzi, good to talk to you, sir. This Google study, ransomware here to stay. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, no, well, it is. Yeah, Google looked into it. They set up a number of dummy victims, in fact, a few thousand dummy victims, and allowed the ransomware to infect it so they could trace it back and work out how many millions of pounds had been extorted from people. So probably worth just taking a step back and just explaining what ransomware is. So we're familiar with things like viruses that infect your computer and disable it in various ways. But ransomware is, as the name would suggest, designed to hold you to ransom. And what it does is it insidiously infects your computer and then slowly but surely it scrambles all the data on it. It encrypts it in such a way that you can't make use of that data anymore unless you pay a ransom, which is normally paid in a currency known as bitcoins and can be a few hundred pounds worth of money. What Google have said in their report is, I guess, common sense, is that we're going to see a lot more of this in the future because it's highly profitable. They've worked out that, the people who've done this, they've currently detected 34 variants of the ransomware. So it started with one program and it's been mutating and becoming more advanced. Those 34 variants have already coined for the people who've put it out there millions and millions of pounds. And we're going to see more advanced ransomware, we're going to see more of it. And the other change that's happened is that there are companies now, or businesses, criminal businesses, offering ransomware as a service. So let's say I want to extort people, but I don't have the technical ability to do it. I go to this service provider and say, provide me with ransomware, and I tick the boxes of what I want it to do and how much I want to charge and how I want to be paid, and off it goes, and then they extort and they take a cut. And it's become that. So it's really, that's one of the other reasons why we're going to see a lot more of it, because it's become a lot easier for people to do it. They no longer need to be, technical masterminds. They can do it as simply as ordering furniture or something.
The targets of this, Fevzi, more likely to be businesses than individuals?
No, it's not. See, these things are not. There was a lot of talk about this when the NHS was attacked, and I would posit that the NHS wasn't targeted, although it was a victim of it. It just had a high number of unprotected machines running old software. And therefore, these bits of software are not easy to target unless it's something like a government going after an individual, which is called a spear phishing attack. They will tend to go out there and spread widely across the internet, and whoever is vulnerable will come down with it. It's a bit like flu or bubonic plague, perhaps. Hmm. Those that don't have the resistance to it. So the answer is, really, we have to, of course, keep our software up to date, both the operating system, be it Windows or Mac OS, and the applications we run. They all have to be kept up to date. And if Microsoft, for example, say they don't support it anymore, then don't use it anymore. So, for example, don't use Windows XP for that reason. Don't use Office 2003 for the same reason. But the other best protection that we have, because even when we take those precautions, we may still fall victim, the best protection that we can have is to take frequent backups of all our important data. And if we back up, say, to an external drive, which we plug in via USB cable, as soon as that backup is completed, unplug the backup from the computer. Because if you leave it plugged in and then you get infected, it will also encrypt the backup.
Good tip.
But if you unplug it, you're good.
Yep. Right. This is quite a headline, isn't it? AI vastly more risky than North Korea. Who's been saying that?
Yeah. So this is Elon Musk, who's the chief executive officer of Tesla, the car company and battery company, and also SpaceX, who are launching rockets. And he's also one of the guys behind Hyperloop, which is this accelerating people in pods at hundreds of miles an hour across deserts sort of thing. So he's a technologist. He's a serious figure. He's quite unconventional, but he knows what he's talking about. And he's basically been saying, don't be worrying about North Korea. That's small beans. He's saying AI, artificial intelligence, is an existential threat. That's to say, it is a threat to the existence of humanity. And it's not just him that are making noises like that. Professor Stephen Hawking has said something very similar himself, who's not given to bouts of madness. It is true. And, you know, there are leading scientists, very serious scientists now who are at work. There's a guy at MIT whose research is now centered on what could we possibly program into this generation of artificial intelligence that would mean that future generations wouldn't kill us all? And that's just, and that sounds like a crazy thing to say, but if you imagine that as human beings, each generation is about as smart as the one before, and it takes, you know, 25 years to bring up a new generation. But with computers, each generation is smarter than the one before, and the gestation period is less. So instead of, as it is now, you know, Intel needing a year to produce a new generation of chips, you'll have the position where each new generation can come about in days or even hours from the last one and be markedly smarter, which means there'll come a point when they are inevitably smarter than us, and we have to think about what we can say to them that will stop them considering us redundant or even unhelpful.
Scary.
It is. Yeah. Hawking's advice is get off the planet and run. Probably good advice.
From him, that's brilliant.
For a variety of reasons. From him in particular. But I think that's true for a variety of reasons, considering.
Before we run away, Fevzi, tell us about your gadget of the week, because I'm always impressed by your gadget of the week. Come on.
Yeah, so this
sell me something. You got a minute. Go on, go for it.
This is a piece of software, something called LastPass. It's password management software. At the moment, we try to have unique passwords for every service that we log on to on the internet. We don't do it. We either have the same password or small variations. That's a nightmare. Use a piece of password management software like LastPass, for example, which will generate unique and secure passwords. It will then store them all in a secure vault. So you then only have to remember one master password. Once you open the vault, you can surf the internet freely without having to remember all these passwords. If one of the companies you're registered with gets hacked, that's okay, because it hasn't, you know, they can't use that password anywhere else because it's unique to that one. And in order to secure your vault, because obviously if they get hold of your master password, you're sunk, you need what's called second factor authentication. So, for example, set it up so they have to send you a code to your mobile phone, or you have to plug in a dongle into a USB port, something so that the password alone won't be sufficient for a criminal to get into your vault. Once you've got that, you'll be able to have security, and if you do get hacked, it's very easy to change the passwords. You know exactly where you've registered.
Good stuff. Fevzi, as ever, great to talk to you. Fevzi Turkel, he's the gadget detective.
BBC Radio Oxford.